The diagnostic strip on the cold lockup had been warm amber for a year and some, the color of a thing kept alive, and at 0340 it went red. Hari Rao woke to the red the way other men wake to a hand on the shoulder. He did not move for a moment. He looked at the number under the red. Minus 91 and climbing. The vial needed minus 112, and the vial did not have an opinion he could ask. The notice was in his queue, time-stamped 0200, which was the orbital admin's polite way of doing a thing while a man slept. There was a clause number. There was a name at the bottom, Auditor Imari, and the small gray seal of orbital administration that meant somebody upstairs had finally read the paperwork Hari's last job had generated and decided to tidy his record by tidying his bay. His cold lockup was overspec. He'd bought it overspec on purpose, a year and some ago, the week he carried a Vask vial off a dead transport and told no one. A reach-grade cryo unit drew real power, and real power was on the orbital's budget, and the orbital's budget was now at 0340, the thing killing the only object Hari owned that he could not explain. That was the elegant part, if you liked your bad mornings tidy. They were not coming to find the vial. They had no idea the vial existed. They had throttled the lockup to save a few watts toward an energy finding, and the throttle would warm the vial to ruin by mid-shift, and then at 0900, Auditor Imari would arrive to inventory the bay and scan, with a reach customs wand, whatever was warming in the dark. A small Vask script vial, biological, recovered from a wreck whose salvage rights had belonged to Asul Clade, undeclared to reach customs for a year and some. That scan ended his license. It might end more than that. He had until 0900 to make it not be there, and he had until somewhere around mid-shift to make it still be alive. And those two problems pulled in opposite directions, which was the only kind of problem Hari trusted, because at least it was honest about hating him. He picked up the folded square beside the lockup, the child's drawing square he'd taken off the same wreck, four bright cord knots at its corners, a grammar he couldn't read, and put it down again. Then he got dressed the rest of the way and went to wake up Asul. Eerie of six voices kept odd hours, which suited a broker who handled accounts across nine time standards and kept a small leased counter in the contract handoff wing where the strip lights still came in three colors because nobody had ordered the replacement run. Hari had not stood at that counter in a year. He had paid down the debt in his head 100 times since, and on the ledger not at all. The Sul was awake. Of course the Sul was awake.
Mr. Rao, you have the bearing of a man arriving to settle something, which is a bearing I have waited some time to see on you, and which I observe from the hour and the state of your jumpsuit. You have not, in fact, come here to do.
I need a stasis class unit. Inert, licensed, small. In the next 4 hours.
The compound visual band caught the wrong blue strip light and held on him. The two manipulator arms went still on the counter, which on a Sewell was the equivalent of a human going quiet.
In the next 4 hours. For a contractor with an outstanding obligation to this house and no contract in hand. You understand that the question you are asking and the question you are not asking are, this morning, the same question.
Hari put the folded square on the counter. He didn't know why he'd brought it. He'd grabbed it on the way out the way you grab the thing that matters when the room is on fire.
You saw it. At the handoff, last year, the bundle I had against my chest. You looked 2 seconds too long, and then you told me the courtesy of the contract had been performed with more thoroughness than the contract required. I've had a year to figure out that was you telling me you knew.
My fifth voice worked Vask accounts for 40 years. He taught me the shape of a thing a Vask crew keeps cold past their own dying. I knew what you were carrying before you reached the bay door, Mr. Rao. I did not require accounting of it then. I am not certain I can avoid requiring it now.
Then tell me what it is. plane. I've kept a thing cold for a year. And some. And I don't even know what I've been keeping.
The Sewell's pace tightened. Not cold, the other thing. The careful slowing a Sewell did around words that cost something.
The Vasque call it a continuance. When a hold is dying, too few left, the line failing, the births not coming. They take the last of a bloodline and keep it cold, and they carry it, not to a buyer. To a living hold that has agreed to carry the line forward when its own people can again. A continuance is a hold's hole tomorrow in a thumb of glass. The six who died on that transport were not freighting cargo, Mr. Rao. They were carrying someone's grandchildren to a place that promised to let them be born.
Harry looked at the folded square with its four orange knots and thought about the part where it was a child's drawing and decided he was not going to be able to think about that part and also do the next 4 hours, so he put it away in the place he kept things he couldn't carry.
Then I need that stasis class unit. More than I needed it 90 seconds ago. The Reach is going to pull my cold lock up at Arrow 900 and scan my bay on the way out. I have to move it into something they won't pull and won't read.
And stasis class unit is something the Reach cannot pull because it draws below the threshold of every instrument the Reach budgets by. Your own people built that finding to count watts they can see. And something the Reach will not read, because to a customs inventory, it is one licensed salvage component of a recognized trade category. And the category is the answer to the question. You have understood the whole of it already. You are only here because you do not have one, and I do.
That was the thing about Irie. You came in with half a plan, and the Sewell handed you the other half just to show you it had seen it first.
You have one.
I have three, in a bonded lot, inert and licensed, waiting on a buyer who is two sectors away and in no hurry. I can release one to you. The difficulty, Mr. Rao, is not the unit. The difficulty is the ledger.
The warmth went out of the room a degree, the way it did when a Sewell reached a clause that mattered.
If I sell you a stasis class unit this morning, that sale is a record. The lot's count changes. The buyer, two sectors away, is owed an accounting. The transaction enters the clade memory the way every transaction I have ever made enters it, and is carried and is remembered. And a contractor with an undeclared Vasque continuance, who acquired a stasis class unit from this house on the exact morning the Reach came to pull his cold lockup. That is a pattern any clade can read, and the Sewell forget nothing. I would be selling you the unit and selling you the record of why you needed it in the same breath. I cannot protect a thing by writing it down.
Harry had spent a year not asking the Sewell for anything. He heard the shape of what Irie was circling and did not quite let himself believe it, because believing it cost him something he hadn't budgeted.
You're saying you can't sell it to me?
I am saying I will not. There is a difference. And my sixth voice, who took an interest in your species' habit of using a thing against its own purpose, and who is, I will tell you plainly, the reason your account has never been called. My sixth voice finds the difference interesting this morning.
The Sewell drew the lot's manifest up on the counterpane, and Harry watched a number change. The bonded lot read 3 units. Irie's manipulator arm moved, unhurried, and the lot read 2, and there was no third line anywhere recording where the missing unit had gone. No sale, no transfer, no buyer. A stasis class unit had simply ceased on the only record that governed it to ever have existed. For a Sewell, that was not bookkeeping. That was cutting out a piece of your own afterlife and handing it across a counter.
Ivory, this will don't do that. Your whole... You told me once the memory is the afterlife. You just made a piece of it not exist.
I made a unit not exist. What you do with a unit that does not exist is not a transaction. And what is not a transaction is not remembered. And what is not remembered cannot be read by a clade looking for a pattern in your bay at 0900. You asked me for cold and quiet, Mr. Rao. The cold is in the unit. The quiet is the part I am giving you that the contract does not cover.
The warmth came back into the Sewell's cadence then, just slightly, the small mercy at the end of a hard clause.
Take it. The continuance was carried by people who died carrying it. It would be an imprecision to let it warm because the reach is counting watts. Go. You have, by my reckoning, rather less than 4 hours.
Hari took the unit. It was heavier than it looked, the way inherited gear always was, as if the makers had built weight into everything they touched as a tax on borrowing it. Kiawarm. Back in his quarters, the lockup read minus 73. Climbing slow, but climbing, and slow was not the same as stopped. He set the Stasis class unit on the bench beside the dying Reach lockup and opened its housing. And there it was, the inner cradle, small, unornamented, sized for exactly one thumb of glass. He sat with that for a second longer than the 4 hours allowed. The unit had been built by people gone before any species now alive had a word for them, and they had sized this cradle for a vial, and the Vask had used theirs to carry grandchildren. And the Sewell sold them empty as cold boxes, and not one of those three understood the other two. Everyone in the galaxy was using everyone else's tools to do a thing the makers never imagined. He was just the only one dumb enough to be doing it before breakfast. Then he stopped admiring the problem and started working it, because the problem had a clock and admiration did not. The trouble was the gap. The Reach lockup held the vial at minus 73 and falling apart. The stasis unit's cradle, once he woke the unit, would pull down to minus 112 and hold it there for years on a draw nobody could see. But a stasis class unit did not wake instantly. It came up to temperature on its own opaque schedule. Minutes, not seconds. And in the minutes between lifting the vial out of the cold lockup and the stasis cradle reaching cold, the continuance would sit at quarters. Temperature 20 degrees and 20 degrees for 4 minutes was the same as a knife. He needed a bridge. Cold he could carry by hand for 4 minutes. He'd built one of these before, on the worst flight of his life, in a wrecked Vask hull with this same vial against his chest. He pulled a Reach hull breach vacuum patch out of his kit, the two-layer kind, outer skin and an inner pocket of inert foam, 10-second activator set, every salvage crew's cheapest friend. He cracked the activator and let the foam bloom into a worn ration tin, then packed the bloom around the dying lockup's cold plate to steal what cold the failing unit had left before it lost it for good. Foam was a fine insulator. Foam did not care whose cold it kept. He worked fast and he worked quiet, the magnetic skull cap pushed up off his forehead, the way he worked when the work was the only thing in the room. The lockup read minus 70, minus 68. He had maybe one good transfer in the cold the foam could hold, and no second try because the Reach lockup was past saving, and the foam would warm in minutes, and there was exactly one thumb of glass in the universe that mattered, and it had no backup. He woke the Stasis class unit first because the bridge was only worth building if the far side was getting cold. He fed it off his bench bus and watched the diagnostic strip come up. Not pale green yet, the unit deciding in its own time whether to be alive. There was no honest way to hurry it. The makers had not built a hurry into it. He thought, not for the first time, that the people who made the inheritance had never once been in a rush, and that this was either the most reassuring or the most terrifying fact about them, and he had never been able to decide which. The strip went green, faint, then steady. The unit was pulling its cradle down toward cold on a draw his bench meter could barely find. Minus 40 inside the housing, Minus 60. Coming. Now the bad part. Now the part with no second try. There was a knock at the hatch. Not the auditor, too early, and an auditor didn't knock, an auditor announced. This was the flat double rap of a bay crew kid, and a voice through the hatch saying the admin had moved the pull forward, that Amari was working the block top to bottom and was three quarters down the spiral, that Hari might want to be decent because they were coming in 20 minutes, not 90. Harry looked at the stasis strip, minus 70 inside the housing, not cold enough. Not yet at the 112 the continuance needed, not even close, and 20 minutes was not enough time for the unit to finish coming down on its own unhurried schedule.
Yeah, 20 minutes. Tell Imari I'm decent and grateful, and I'll have the bay clear.
He was lying about two of those three. The unit needed to be at temperature before he moved the vial, or the bridge wasn't a bridge. It was just a slightly slower knife, and the unit would not be at temperature in 20 minutes, and he could not make the makers hurry. So he stopped trying to make the makers hurry and started thinking about what the makers had actually built. The stasis unit didn't make cold. He'd known that for a year without ever once thinking about what it meant. It didn't run a coolant cycle, didn't pump heat out a radiator, didn't do any of the things a reach lockup did to drag a temperature down. It just, whatever the makers built into it, the cold was already there, waiting, and the unit's only job was to keep the rest of the universe from leaking in. It wasn't a refrigerator. It was a sealed pocket of the maker's own kept cold, and the slow part, the minutes of coming down, wasn't the unit making cold. It was the unit's seal equalizing with the warm air he'd let into the cradle when he opened the housing. He'd opened the housing and let his quarters in. That was why it was slow. He was making it fight the room. So he stopped giving it the room to fight. He took the bloom foam, his bridge, his one carry of borrowed cold, and instead of carrying the vial the cradle, he packed the foam, sealing the maker's cold pocket off from his quarters warm air with the cheapest insulator the reach sold. He gave the unit nothing to fight, and the strip went from minus 70 to minus 90 to minus 104 in the time it took him to swear once, quietly, with real feeling. The makers had built the cradle. The Vask had filled it with tomorrow. The Sewell had sold it empty. And a reach hull patch. 10-second foam. Activator set, 4 units off the bench stock shelf, was the thing that finally let it do its job, because Hari had stopped asking the inheritance to be fast and started asking it only to be left alone. Minus 112, steady. He lifted the vial out of the dead reach lockup with 2 fingers, and the held breath of a man diffusing the only ordinance he cared about. And he set it into the inner cradle where its kind had ridden before any of this, and he sealed the housing. The diagnostic strip held green. The draw on his bench meter dropped to a number, the meter rounded down to nothing. To anything the reach could measure, there was now nothing in the bay but one licensed salvage component, drawing no power worth counting, of a category the customs catalog had a clean line for. Then he pulled the dead reach lockup off the bench, set it by the hatch with the other overspec units the block was surrendering, and had just gotten the foam wrapper into the recycler when the hatch chimed and Auditor Amari let herself in. Amari was administrative tier, pressed, the kind of reach that had never once cut a hull and was not embarrassed about it. She read the bay off her slate without looking up. 2 overspec cold units surrendered, logged. She glanced at the stack by the hatch, at Hari, at the bench.
You're the contractor with the interesting record. The 15-year gap, the discharged lien nobody filed a contract for. Reads like a man who does things slightly outside the lines and writes them up afterwards so we can't pretend we didn't see.
That's the whole genre, yeah.
She walked the bench. She had the customs wand off her hip without making a thing of it, and she ran it over the surrendered lockups. And then she stopped at the stasis class unit, and Hari's whole life narrowed to the width of a diagnostic strip.
And this?
Stasis class inheritance component. Licensed to salvage. Recognized category. Holding it for a sale that's 2 sectors away and in no hurry. Draws under your threshold. That's why it's not on your energy finding. It's the boring kind of thing I do between the interesting kind.
The wand read what it read. One licensed salvage component, recognized category, inert by every measure the Reach owned. Imari looked at the readout, and then... Hari would think about this later, in the quiet. She looked at... a half second longer than the wand required, the way the broker had looked at the bundle a year ago.
Inheritance components aren't on my finding. I count watts I can see.
She holstered the wand.
You'd be amazed how much of this orbital runs on things that draw under the threshold. Whole second economy down there nobody's budget can find.
I would not be amazed, actually. That's most of what I do for a living.
No, I don't suppose you would.
She logged the bay closed. At the hatch, she paused.
The interesting record gets more interesting, Mr. Rao, not less. One of these audits, the thing under the threshold's going to be something I have to count. Try to have it be boring when it is.
And then she was gone, three quarters down the spiral becoming all the way, and the hatch sealed, and the bay held nothing the Reach could see. Harry sat down on the bunk. The stasis strip glowed steady green on the bench, drawing nothing, holding minus 112, holding a holds hold tomorrow in a thumb of glass it had been built by someone gone to hold. The thing was alive and it was hidden, and it was his now in a way it had not been his this morning, because this morning it had been a thing he'd taken and not reported, and now it was a thing he had chosen, twice knowing what it was. He had a continuance in his quarters. Somewhere there was a living hold that had agreed, once, to carry a line forward, and six people had died trying to get this to them. And Hari did not know the hold's name, did not know if the agreement still held, did not know if the line could even be carried after a year, and some in a Reach cold box in a Soul Ghost unit. He knew only that he was the one holding it, and that holding it was now a thing he could not unchoose, which was the only kind of thing Hari ever ended up holding. He picked up the folded square with its four orange knots. A child had drawn something, and a parent had transcribed it into cord, and somewhere in that grammar he couldn't read might be the name of the hold that was waiting. Might be. He'd need a Vask to read it. He knew distantly that there were Vask who'd let him ask now, that his name was not a stranger's name among certain keels. That was a different episode and a longer flight. For now he had the boring kind of thing he did between the interesting kind, a licensed salvage component, drawing nothing, on a bench in a bay the Reach had counted and closed. He almost let it go at that. He'd earned letting it go at that. But he kept turning over the one part that didn't sit. Eerie had not sold him the unit. Eerie had it. Taken a piece of the Sewell afterlife, the memory that was the whole of what a Sewell was, and cut it loose so that no Clade would ever read this morning in Hari's bay. A Sewell did not do that. A Sewell could not do that. The way a human could not choose to stop their own heart by wanting to. And Eerie had done it for a continuance Eerie had no stake in, on the strength of a sixth voice that found Hari and had asked for nothing, which was the part that didn't sit, because a Sewell who asked for nothing was a Sewell who had decided the asking came later, on terms they'd already chosen. Hari had spent a year owing this Sewell a debt he could measure. Now he owed one he couldn't. He looked at the green strip a while longer. Then he reached over and pulled up the least counter's open channel on his bench pane. Not to thank Eerie, a man did not thank a Sewell for a thing that did not happen. But because there was a question he had to ask before he could sleep, and a year of not asking it had been long enough. He typed. He watched the channel. The little marker that meant the message had landed and been read, and that a senior broker who answered everything was, this once, choosing the length of the silence. The reply came after a while, one line, no clause, no condition, which from Eerie was its own kind of answer.
To see what you do next.
Harry put the pane down. On the bench, the strip held green and steady and patient, the way the makers had built everything they touched to be patient. And somewhere, two sectors away, a buyer waited on a unit that no longer existed. And somewhere among the moving keels a hold waited on, a tomorrow it had stopped expecting, and a Sewell who had unwritten a piece of its own afterlife waited, patient as the gear, to see what Hari Rao did next. He turned off the lamp. The green held in the dark, drawing nothing, keeping everything. He spoke to the green in the dark, the way he talked to equipment that was behaving.
Yeah, me too.